broadcasting live across the great state of Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'll tell you what, we had such a great time on yesterday's statewide hour of Montana Talk. You got so many great phone calls across Montana. Let's keep it rolling. Let's keep taking your phone calls. Phone lines are open for you once again on this Tuesday here with Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Or if you're somebody who gets a little shy, doesn't want to talk on the radio, but you want to get a message out all across the state, well, you can type up a quick message to us, send it to us on our Montana Talks app. Our producer, Travis Lee, will print it up for us, and then we can read it over the airwaves here as well. Also today, though, hey, treat it like you would any open phone line show. If you want to talk, call the number. We'll get you on the show. But we've also got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, sidekicking with us in studio once again on this Tuesday. John, great to see you as always. Thanks for being with us here this morning.
Oh, glad to do it, Aaron.
Yeah, it's, you know, this is going to be an interesting day as well because there's so many different topics that we can cover. But the biggest weekend, the biggest question I got over the weekend, I was the MC for the Safari Club International Montana Chapter Banquet Saturday night, and everybody was asking me, well, what do you think? Are they going to arrest Donald Trump on Tuesday? Are they going to put him in handcuffs? My suspicion is that was the initial plan from this liberal prosecutor in New York, but I would bet that they're changing their plans now.
I see he's going to get arrested now. How they roll with the procedure and they get a few more witnesses in the door, you know, nail down a couple of more things, get the procedures in place to actually put the handcuffs on and process a former president of the United States.
Unprecedented.
Which, you know, I listened to Bongino the other day, former Secret Service guy, telling, you know, questioning how in the world is that going to happen. The Secret Service can't have that guy in the company of any kind of criminals or even out of their sight. The whole thing is just ludicrous.
Well, and what I found fascinating was at about 4:15 this morning, Montana time, I flipped over to MSNBC. And it's they were so outrageous, so over the top, filled with so much anti-Trump gibberish that I mentioned that I felt like I was sitting next to a table of drunks at a Denny's at 3 o'clock in the morning that just left the bar. That's what MSNBC sounded like this morning. Oh, Trump's a liar. It's Tuesday. He hasn't been arrested yet. Oh, well, then why did I hear this report on Fox News Radio?
A law enforcement source telling Fox News that the Manhattan District Attorney's Office and different branches of law enforcement discussed the logistics of closing down streets and putting lights up with generators, extra barriers, and extra police ahead of President Trump's possible arraignment. Now,
okay, so MSNBC says Trump's a liar. Oh, it's Tuesday. Well, first off, it's 6:15 in the morning on a Tuesday. But second off, okay, if this wasn't the plan, then why are all the barricades going up?
And the thing that nobody's talking about is what this is going to do for Donald Trump. This is going to make him more popular.
Yeah, I think Elon Musk hit it right over the weekend when he said just that. That's going to be the end result. In fact, Elon Musk even went so far as to say,
candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I definitely want to get into some Montana-specific news this morning. Obviously, some of what's going on at the national level is driving a lot of conversations at the cafes across Montana this morning. But so I want to get to some of the Montana-specific stuff here. But I think we need to put all of this national news in even more of a fine-tuned perspective here this morning. John Jackson, for those who don't know, is a retired federal law enforcement officer. He's got over 80,000 followers on Twitter, but lives right here in Montana. So great to have him in studio with us here on the show. We're taking your phone calls as well, 294-0970. John, this was one of the headlines that caught my eye earlier this morning from FoxNews.com. U.S. left out as China and Iran come out on top in latest deal with Saudi Arabia. a lot of, you know, people who maybe haven't deployed overseas, you've been overseas in a federal law enforcement capacity. I've been overseas in a military capacity. So if you're not, you know, if you haven't spent time in the Persian Gulf, or our Saudi friends would call it the Arabian Gulf, because don't you dare call it the Persian Gulf, right? Because then you're talking about the Persians in Iran. These guys are like mortal enemies. Joe Biden's foreign policy is so disastrous, he's now got mortal enemies that are now putting deals together. The Saudis and the Iranians are putting deals together. They have agreed to reestablish diplomatic ties and reopen mutual embassies, a deal reportedly brokered by China that has raised eyebrows all across the globe. China is responsible for this pandemic. Joe Biden and his administration let them off the hook while the American economy went into the tank. And he's now pushed them all closer together and helped them gain more allies in the world while he's severed American ties with countries like Saudi Arabia and others.
I've watched this my whole life, Aaron. I've been in those American embassies overseas and watched this clown show of nitwits in the State Department. Their whole job is to conduct foreign policy. They don't do anything. They sit inside embassies and give away our tax money. Now, on the rare occasion that they ever do.
Not all of them, but but a lot in that bureaucracy, that way, right?
On the rare occasion that they ever do actually involve themselves in some kind of foreign policy, they inevitably screw it up. I'm telling you, they screw it up every single time. I saw it for 10 years. These are the same people that we're going to trust to take us to war against nuclear Russia, against nuclear China. I mean, there is no doubt that will go down in flames and all of us will suffer for it.
The other story that's in the news today is that Joe Biden is set to sign, if he hasn't signed it already, a bill that would declassify intelligence pertaining to the origins of COVID-19. He doesn't need a bill to do that. He's the president of the United States. He can declassify all on his own.
Well, I saw that headline, and it's just such a joke, because if people think that, oh, this declassification is going to be some folder now that we can open up, and oh, gee, here's the answer. Oh, no, they've stacked that folder, boys. You're not going to learn anything new in there. The stuff they really know is in the computer at Langley. You're not going to see it.
I shared the same skepticism that you did. Is he doesn't need a bill to declassify intelligence. The president can declassify practically anything he wants to, which is why the great panty raid of Mar-a-Lago was such a joke, because when Donald Trump was the president, he had the power to declassify things. A vice president, like when Joe Biden was a vice president of the United States, does not have the power to declassify things.
Again, it's just going to be such a joke. I don't know why they're going through this show here. Like, oh, we're now going to finally find out. We're going to get to the truth of what the intelligence agencies think about COVID-19. Boys, no, we're not.
It's just, to me, just this whole thing is so outrageous. Joe Biden enters office basically, you know, slapping the Saudis in the face. He pushes them closer to China, pushes them closer to Russia. Putin wasn't invading the Ukraine when Donald Trump was president, but with the weak foreign policy of Joe Biden, he saw the welcome mat rolled out. And now Joe Biden is using the war in Ukraine to basically degrade our munitions capacity here in America. He's already been kicking thousands of troops to the curb. He's weakened our military. He's weakened our economy. We've now got this bank crisis, Silicon Valley Bank. Hopefully it's contained there with these woke Green New Deal banks. But, I mean, what's the next shoe to drop with these guys?
It is utter chaos, never ending. And it's not manufactured chaos like it was during the Trump administration. Chaos manufactured by the media themselves to attack Donald Trump. This is real structural chaos being caused by them. And like you said in the previous hour, it's all intentional.
Which brings us, of course, to something we didn't even mention yet. The chaos on our southern border. Migrant encounters at the southern border have now surpassed 1 million for fiscal year 2023. Didn't we just barely get this year started? And they've already surpassed a million encounters. And we know that the crime, we've got two officers in Montana, the two police officers that have been shot in the last 2.5 weeks. We had a highway patrol trooper run over. We know that the fentanyl and the drug cartels are driving this crime in Montana.
A million encounters? Now, what does that tell you? How many people have not been encountered that are just in free, never got seen, snatched by anybody?
Yeah. You're a retired federal law enforcement officer. I finally watched this Netflix series, Narcos. Haven't watched Ted Lasso, so, you know, the whole White House shenanigans yesterday with Ted Lasso. Finally watched Narcos, though. That's an incredible series and pretty accurate depiction, huh?
It's a must-watch. If you want to know the history of drug enforcement, it's a must-watch. Very realistic.
All right. Well, the two agents that are front and center in that Narcos...
Funded in whole or in part under a contract with the Montana Department of Health and Human Services. The statements herein do not necessarily reflect the opinion of the department.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, John, I do want to talk about this Netflix show, Narcos, talking about Pablo Escobar and the drug cartels in Colombia back in the day. And in fact, two of the agents who are you know, featured front and center in that Netflix series, the true historic account of that, were on Fox News, and they were asked, hey, what should we do about the Mexican drug cartels? So I want to play some audio from that interview and get your reaction. But before we get to that, let's get to some phone calls here because I don't want to keep our callers waiting too long. 294-0970, the number for you if you got something you want to talk about. First up, we've got Tamara in Billings listening to KBUL. Tamara, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I've been thinking about this for a while. Afraid to bring it up. And then that guy that impersonates Trump really well, he was on last week, I think it was Newsmax or OAN, and he questioned why all of a sudden Biden looks really good on the podium, not missing a step, not even needing a prompter, talking very well. And then I saw early this morning on one of those main major media sources, I think it was Channel 6, brought up the question of, are they using doubles for Putin? Then I got to thinking about Biden. What do you think about that?
Are they using a body double for Biden? All right. Well, Tamara, thanks for the question. I guess my response to that would be, well, like, well, bring him out. Bring him out. Bring him out. Bring him out. You're like at the Cat Grizz game. Bring him out. Bring him out. Bring him out. Because a body double's got to be better than what we've been getting so far here.
Well, if you catch it at the right time of the morning, you know, say 11, noon, and they got that Ritalin cocktail into him, you know, about 30 minutes ahead of time, you're going to get an hour of lucidity out of it, maybe.
You remind me of a certain place in Africa where drug use was a common factor. And early in the morning, the streets were busy, but then the moment the cot would...
Somalia, yes.
It's close. But once the cot wore off, everybody's sleeping in the streets.
Yeah.
You know, interesting.
Yeah, the thing about sundowning, you've heard that that phrase before.
I've heard it, yeah.
Sundowning is where these people that have mental issues, these senior citizens, after about 6, 7 o'clock in the evening, yeah, they're not making sense about anything.
So you can be on for a period of time and then off.
Yeah,
interesting. All right. Well, thanks for the call, Tamara. Putin, he just did a visit to Mariupol. And then, of course, Xi Jinping, the communist Chinese leader, is in Moscow meeting with him right now. John, you were in Afghanistan. I was in Afghanistan. This whole thing to me is like a replay of Afghanistan to this extent. The Taliban had this phrase that they would use. And I read the book about the Taliban before I went to Afghanistan. You know, back in the day, some 15 years ago or so. And the phrase that the Taliban would use is, the Americans may have all the watches, you know, because anybody who was there, we had a fancy, you know, we'd have our watch, you know. The Americans may have all the watches, but we have all the time. That's exactly what Putin and China are saying here, is they know that, hey, you know, eventually this commitment is going to run out. And what the message that China is communicating right now is they are in it for the long haul, and they will continue to bleed America of cash.
It's funny, we talked about that very thing on our Behind Enemy Lines podcast, and that was our assessment as well, is that if you're Putin, why not just sit back? You're watching Joe Biden and the left destroy America, most specifically with their climate lunacy. Just sit back and wait them out 3, 5, 10 years from now when we are cut in half by this nonsense, then you're the king.
All right, let's get back into the phone lines here, 294-0970. And don't forget to remind me to talk about Narcos here, because we'll get so many great phone calls that I'll forget what we said we were going to talk about at some point here. Let's take you to KVCK country. We got Justin in Poplar on the phone lines. Justin, great to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Yeah, what's on your mind?
So, I'm traveling to a VA appointment, and I'm listening into the radio today. And, you know, the show's called Montana Talks, but I hear nothing about Montana. You know, I hear about all these other countries, but, you know, let's talk about Montana.
Okay.
Let's talk about Montana issues.
Yeah, I thought we were doing that with the drug cartels, bringing the fentanyl and the meth into Montana.
No, and like I said, the reason for my call today, you know, the VA coverage is not so well here in this state. Especially if you live in a rural area. If you live in an urban area, you're going to get a little better care. But, like I said, you know, I think I've spoken with you before about this issue, but the VA needs to do a better job. And, you know, I'm just listening to the show for the last half hour, and there's nothing about Montana.
Yeah. So part of what we talk about here is what Montanans want to talk about. So when people call into the show, people want to hear what other Montanans have to say about these issues, whether they're the national issues or the local issues. Just like if you popped into a cafe in Wolf Point on your drive to the VA, what are people at the cafe going to be talking about? Are they going to be talking about just Montana issues, or are they going to be talking about, hey, do you think they're going to arrest Donald Trump today? What do you think?
Well, like I said, if you come into an area in Poplar, for example, they're going to talk about local issues. You know, we live in an area where we're not really concerned about what goes on with the national level. You obviously have your Trump lipstick on and your Trump underwear on today. It's kind of hard to understand this radio. It's just, let's talk about Montana issues.
Okay, well, let's talk about the VA under Donald Trump compared to right now. Why do you think the VA is such a mess right now?
You know, I really wish I knew, because we live in rural areas. And like you said, there's a substandard care with the lack of VA coverage in our rural areas. It's a shame.
Yeah, no, I hear you. No, I hear you there. I would encourage you, if you get the chance, you should link up with our friend Chris Ingett with Concerned Veterans for America Montana, because, man, I tell you what, all these issues you're talking about, we've had him on this show before, we'll have him on again, but he is talking about these very same issues that you're just talking about right there. Thanks for the call, Justin, and yeah, we talk a lot of Montana issues, but we also talk the national issues, and Montanans want to weigh in on those, and people in Montana want to hear what other Montanans have to say about it. So thanks for calling in. This is the show where you get to talk after all. John Jackson, you know, if only we had a senator from Montana who was the chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That could fix some of these problems in the VA. Imagine if we had a chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee from Montana that could help Justin and our fellow veterans with these problems.
Well, I applaud you right there, Aaron. You're much more polite in that response than I would have been. But I can tell you straight up, what's the problem with the VA? It's the VA. You know, like the Colombians say, it's not the money, it's the money. You can pour another couple of billion into that thing. It's still going to be just as bad or worse than it always has been, because it's healthcare run by the government. They don't give a fudge about you. They don't care about profit. They're not there to get results. Okay, that's why they don't have to compete with anybody, so they're always going to suck, period.
Yeah, and I did get a kick out of Justin's line there, though, about the Trump underwear. I have a Trump sign. It's a Veterans for Trump sign that I've got in my office a couple of doors away from the studio here, but don't have the underwear yet. I'll have to see where they're selling.
I've got my Trump thong right here. I can show it to you real quick. You want to see it? Right here.
I told you. Hey, whenever John Jackson's in studio, it's going to be the most unwoke day of the week here. But no, yeah, going back again to the VA, Donald Trump delivered incredible historic reforms for the VA, but more importantly, he followed up. He demanded accountability. Joe Biden gets into power. John Tester's the chairman of the Senate Veterans Affairs Committee. why is Justin having so many problems with the VA? Why are so many of our veterans having problems with the VA? And then to go back to Justin, Justin's talking about the problems with VA healthcare. Well, Justin, what are legislative Democrats in Helena talking about? They're talking not about, hey, how do we fix veterans' health care? No, they're talking about how do we remove body parts from kids and how do we do these transgender surgeries on kids? So whether you're wearing Trump socks or Joe Biden socks, I think we can all agree that is not the that should not be the priority of the state legislature in Helena.
Solution to the VA, scrap the VA entirely. Have veterans who have that benefit, they have a card that say they are privatized. They can go get that care from any private doctor or hospital they want to. Scrap the VA. How many billions have we funneled to the IRS over the last 50 years? Are they better? Are they better serving you? No, they continuously suck because they're the government.
And then when you finally do get to your VA appointment, they're going to tell you, where's your mask? You better wear your mask. Thanks for your service. Shut up and wear this. Throw on the burqa that you saw in Iraq and Afghanistan. A huge slap in the face. We had a veteran. He's a firefighter in the Billings area. Still serves his community as a firefighter, an Iraq veteran. He was in Ramadi, Iraq. The same exact. So we had the same hood in Ramadi, Iraq. We had as our AO. He was there right before me. He got denied care at a VA clinic because, you know, he wouldn't wear the mask. And I'm glad he called him out over it.
The same government that handled the pandemic, that handled the banks, that's handled everything that's happening to you right now, they're handling the VA, boys. You know, get a clue.
Yeah, I mean, Justin, if I were you, I would call John Tester, the chairman of the Senate VA committee, and say, hey, I've got problems with the VA here in Montana. How come you, as the chairman, are not fixing these problems? Oh, but you had time to go to a Silicon Valley fundraiser with the legal team for the Silicon Valley Bank that just got bailed out. So high-tech billionaires can get bailed out by John Tester and Joe Biden. And Hollywood elites that have their money at Silicon Valley Bank get bailed out. But veterans like Justin are still getting screwed over.
Can you imagine the stones it took for big boy Tester there to fly over to Silicon Valley the very day that they get bailed out to meet with a bunch of their muckety mucks and get a payoff check? Can you imagine that?
And not a damn word about it.
No.
In the Lee newspapers, on the Montana Television Network, on Wake Up Montana, they're supposed to be covering these politicians. Instead, they cover four politicians like John Tester. He hosts 3 days after the second largest financial failure in U.S. history. John Tester's there with his hand out asking for campaign cash to the very people that just got bailed out. And the Montana media says, oh, nope, we're not going to talk about
crickets,
that one.
Crickets,
we're not going to talk about that one. Well, that's why we call the show Montana Talks, because we are going to talk about it. Some people may not like that, but we're going to talk about the real news and hold people accountable. All right, JQ Public in Kalispell. I wanted to sneak you on before the break, but we went off on a little rant there.
This is where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
The Biden administration's version of the Waters of the U.S. went into effect yesterday, and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association expressed displeasure in a district court decision to deny a preliminary injunction of the rule. NCBA President South Dakota Rancher Todd Wilkinson says the latest WOTUS rule will place more burdens on family farms and ranches, drive up costs, and prevent cattle producers from making investments in our land. End quote. The Environmental Protection Agency finalized the latest WOTUS rule at the end of 2022. NCBA and its litigation partners filed a lawsuit seeking to overturn the rule on January 18th. The group sought a nationwide preliminary injunction, which would have prevented the federal government from implementing the WOTUS rule until the entire case is decided. Instead, the court granted a limited injunction in only two states, Texas and Idaho. And also later today at noon at Lewistown Livestock Auction, the Montana Stock Growers Association will be holding a rollover auction with a fancy replacement heifer. The rollover auction funds, which will be used to fund its appeal of the Bureau of Land Management's decision regarding the American Prairie Reserve's grazing allotments in Phillips County. The auction will take place at noon at Lewistown Livestock Auction. You can visit protectopenspaces.com for more. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right into the phone calls here. Yeah, we had a great phone call there from Justin and Poplar, and then got to John Jackson's reaction. So let's jump right back into the phone lines. Let's see. JQ Public in Kalispell. Great to hear from you. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning, Aaron. I was waiting in line, and I heard Justin say how he felt like talking about the new accord between Saudi Arabia and Iran, renewing diplomatic relations and getting embassies back in each other's country, that really wasn't talking about Montana. I have a divergent opinion on that. That's what I was calling in about. I think it has a big impact on Montana. You know, ask the wheat farmer out in Three Forks near Wheat, Montana, how much it costs to fuel his combine these days, or the soccer mom that's struggling with inflation and their grocery budget, having to work a side job to make ends meet with high utility bills, and then she can't afford to fill up her van to take the soccer kids to their tournament. It's I think it really impacts Montana, and you know, and definitely our national security.
Yeah. And didn't we just have a China spy balloon overhead over Montana? So, but no, don't talk about China. That has nothing to do with Montana. Don't talk about the Chinese buying land near our nuclear missile silos. Why are you talking about China?
And Iran's one of the big three. It's China, Russia, Iran. So that's eye-opening and makes you want to clench up your cheeks, you know?
I hear you there. Well, and I wish we didn't have to. I wish we didn't have to talk about Saudi Arabia. But you know, we have a president of the United States who shut down the Keystone Pipeline that would be delivering $100 million every single year to Northeast Montana and Southeast Montana. But no, that got shut down. But then he went to beg the Saudis for oil. So yeah, no, appreciate the phone call. Thanks for calling in, John Jackson. Your thoughts?
You have to pay attention to this stuff, and I'll tell you why. I just saw yesterday that Governor Gavin Pretty Boy Newsom there out in California, after he already threw a giant monkey wrench in our supply chains by making all trucks that go through California ports have to be beyond 2010, newer than 2010. Now he's threatening that he's going to put in a provision that now you have to have electric trucks to operate in the state of California, which would mean operating in their ports as well. Can you imagine what that would do to our supply chains, our supply lines in this country? They are intent on destroying us, guys. You better be paying attention.
All right, let's go back into the phone lines. Matt in Billings, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hey, good morning. Before I want to talk about the shooting that happened this weekend, the officer, I wanted to thank Justin for his service and me too. But Justin kind of lost me when he started saying he wanted to talk about Montana, but he started talking about the VA and Trump's underwear, which would be a federal subject, not really a state subject. But what I'd like to say, I don't know if you guys read the full readout of the incident that happened up in the Heights with Mrs. White Crane, but there's some, I believe, some bad police, and I usually support the police, I know the show does, but there's some bad policing. This lady, a Native American lady, actually shot on Friday night the neighbor's window out. I mean, if the police are going to go in and arrest somebody, mental issues or not, when you shoot your neighbor's window out, why would you call the police?
Well, I think that's when the altercation started, and the police did respond to that. But then when they were trying to establish contact, that's when she started firing upon them. And then that's what led to the 14-hour standoff, if I recall right. That was because I spoke with the police chief earlier yesterday morning. For those elsewhere across the state, yeah, you had a Billings police officer shot Saturday morning. And yeah, they were trying to you know, establish contact with this woman, and she fired on the officers. The barricade shield, I guess the bullet went through the barricade shield and hit the officer in the abdomen. That's the new details that we got.
How I read it was this started on Friday night, and they left, and the neighbor left, and the situation calmed down. And then she started shooting again on Saturday morning when it went to make contact. It made contact to her again. Read the article; it says right then and there.
Interesting.
They left and they came back. It's on Q2 and it's on BillingsGazette.com.
Yeah, and I've got the full press conference, so I'll have to go watch that again. But I've got the full press conference on our Montana Talks website right now, and I spoke with the Chief St. John yesterday morning. But yeah, because he did make the point that the whole standoff situation had actually started much earlier. But I don't know, John Jackson, did you read that full in-depth report? Are you familiar with the details on that incident?
I am not. The only thing that I have been annoyed with, you know, in the last 5-10 years of law enforcement procedures is this notion that everything becomes a standoff because the minute somebody resists us, we don't flash in there and take them down. I'm from that different school of thought. We're going to come in and get you. Now, obviously there's things like Waco and these other things that are undoable, but things like this, if you're doing that to us, we're going to come in there and get you, and you're going down one way or another.
Yeah, and thanks to Matt in Billings for that phone call. And I know in my conversation with Billings Police Chief Rich St. John yesterday morning, that's what really stood out to me is they went above and beyond the call of duty and through it. Extraordinary measures, even after one of their own officers had already been shot in the abdomen, and yet the care that they took to preserve human life and to protect this woman that was shooting upon them hours after hours after hours. And so you raise a good question, which is like, you know what, have we gotten to the point now where we are so concerned that instead we don't just move in, move out, take out the threat, and then move on?
It's amazing to hear that a round penetrated the shield. I'd like to hear what kind of round that was.
All right. Well, let's go to George in Kalispell next up on the phone lines. George, thanks for your call. What's on your mind this morning?
Hey, great show today, Aaron. You have a lot of good points being made. And I just wanted to reply to the VA issue. I spent over 21 years in the Navy, 13 years as a government employee with the Navy. And one of the things that I heard when I was in the Navy is people called weebies. And I said, what are those? And they are, we be here when you get here, and we be here when you leave. And it didn't make sense to me till I got out and realized that these federal employees, once they're in their job, they're safe for life. And the promotion opportunities are there if they just come to work and do their job.
But that's a great line. You just described the federal bureaucracy in so many different agencies.
Yeah, they're all weebies, actually. But my point is, I understand, you know, we're a rural state. Things are always far away. But the VA does have buses that will pick you up and take you. Like here in Kalispell, they'll take me to Helena if I need to go there. And it's a free ride. And no questions asked. And so it's a point made. I understand his point, but there's ways around it. There's ways to get help. You can get rides from Glasgow all the way to the VA clinic. So he's not too far from there.
Yeah, I know they've had a challenge getting volunteer drivers, though. The COVID vaccine mandate and the mask policies have really kicked a lot of volunteer drivers to the curb. But you're right, the service is still there. John Jackson, I've never heard that. I've heard of the Navy Seabees. They're incredible. But the Weebies, we be here now, we be here after you're gone. That perfectly describes the federal bureaucracy and the problem in the federal government.
And that's exactly the point that we were talking about, about 15 minutes ago, is that it is the federal government, federal employees. They don't have to compete. They're not worried about their jobs. They're not worried about peer review or evaluations or anything like that. They're going to be there long after, you know, you're gone, no matter what happens.
This is the bureaucracy at the Pentagon. Where you wonder why are we seeing such wokeness destroying our military right now? Well, go look at the massive bureaucracy at the Pentagon and the people not in uniform and the disastrous decisions and shot calling that's coming from
Tom.
Broadcasting from the Grizzly Gold and Silver Studios, trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned, online at grizzlygoldandsilver.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, this hour is flying by. So many great phone calls. The time is flying by. There's a couple of topics we didn't even get to yet here. Try to do a couple of quick hits here. Try to get in some more phone calls and reaction from John Jackson. So one of the Montana-specific stories I wanted to talk about this morning, Senate Bill 99. That's the bill to protect kids from these radical transgender surgeries. Basically, what they're saying is, hey, look, you know, if there are kids that are struggling with gender dysphoria, okay, you can give them mental health treatment, but we're not going to allow you to chop body parts off of kids. We're not going to allow you to give these medications to kids that could cause sterilization or lead to health complications like osteoporosis. There was a young man who testified yesterday as Senate Bill 99 is now being heard before the House Judiciary Committee, and he had this to say.
I was born and raised here in Montana. For 6 years, I have lived as a transgender woman. Through that time, after the euphoria of the newness wore off, I came to realize that no amount of drugs, no amount of pretending and acting like your opposite sex could cure the deep hurt that comes from the pain of dysphoria.
All right, so this was a young man, says he was born and raised here in Montana, identified as a woman for 6 years. So I think that case really puts this whole thing into perfect focus, is what they would tell him when he was a little boy now is, oh, hey, no, you're really a girl. So we're going to chop off this body part and we're going to manufacture another one. And you're really a girl. Well, 20 years down the road, he realizes that was a mistake. There's no going back to the way you were. And that's why there's this effort to protect kids from these radical transgender surgeries.
Well, here's my message, and this is something I can't say on Twitter. I don't care if you're over 18. I don't care. Nobody cares what you do. But here's my message to all the liberals out there. Hands off the kids, you bunch of pedophile perverts. Okay, stop dressing up like women and wagging your junk in their faces. Stop trying to cut their body parts off. Hands off the kids.
Yeah, if you want to do that on your own time with adults, that's your deal. It's America. But why are they trying to target kids with these drag shows and everything else? All right, real quickly here. I believe this is Agent Steve Murphy, DEA, who is featured in the Netflix show Narcos, the real life story. And he was asked about the Mexican drug cartels on Fox News yesterday.
How is this battle different now? And it's very much centered with two main cartels, including Sinaloa, in Mexico.
The biggest difference I see, there's a couple. One is proximity. You know, Colombia, you had to, you're 3,000 miles away. You're several hours away. Whereas Mexico, we're right here on the border with them. The other is the Colombian government, who, you know, I love them. I mean, we really love the country of Colombia. They invited us in to help them take care of the issue, whereas, you know, we're seeing Mexican President Lopez Obrador saying that we're not going to solve this with bullets. We're going to solve this with hugs, you know, hugs for thugs kind of thing. It's kind of silly to take an attitude like that. But in my mind, that just reinforces the idea that corruption is rampant within the Mexican government.
All right. That was Agent Murphy describing the drug cartel presence on our southern border. And this is what is driving the fentanyl and the crime here in Montana right now, John.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And Murphy knows exactly what he's talking about. He was there. And I'll give you the history on this, Aaron. How this happened is, through that era, through the mid-90s, we really were out there as the U.S. government, really, really putting the boots to the cartels and the Mexican gangsters down there and the people in the government that were involved in it. Then what happened in the 90s was, first you had B.J. Clinton came into office. Then you had NAFTA. And then, finally, 9/11 happened. And after that, no one cared about narcotics or Mexico or anything anymore. After that, we've been playing patty cake with these people for the last 20 years, and now we have a narco state on our southern border.
Exactly. And by the way, that same chairman of the Veterans Affairs Committee that's failing our veterans is another key reason why our southern border is wide open right now. Let's go back to the phone lines. We've got Arnie in Kalispell. Arnie, what's on your mind?
Just a quick question. You guys, we all talk about, you know, the next election, and yet we still haven't fixed this mail-in voting thing that goes on in several states, Nevada, you know, Arizona, a lot of the swing states. And yet, for all the liberals out there that are, you know, the few that are listening to the radio show, they have the difference between a mail-in ballot and an absentee ballot is polar opposites.
Good point. Signature verification is critical to that. Showing an ID just to be able to vote. I mean, they don't even want you to have to show an ID to vote. It's crazy all around. Arnie, thanks for the call. Sorry we're short on time. John Jackson, your thoughts.
Oh, that's 100%. That's something, you know, that's a good way to end the show today, Aaron, because everybody needs to understand one basic truth. No Republican is ever going to sit in the White House again until we solve the cheating in those battleground states. Just accept that right now.
Well, and that's why I want to say, you know, speaking of ending things on a good note, can we pour out a little liquor for the judge that will soon no longer be here?
Whoa!
That judge in Yellowstone County who ruled from the bench against these election integrity measures, he's resigning. He'll be out come July.
And See ya!
Governor Gianforte will be able to appoint a replacement there. So, pour out a little liquor. or something else. It doesn't have to be that. Hey, I got a great note from Lee in Wolf Point. He also says, hey, the Four Peck tribes also have drivers to drive you to the VA as well to support the vets. So thanks for that.